such a wonderful presentation which you gave. Not only how you brought us into the Gurukul and highlighted Krishna's attractive nature even in the Gurukul when he tried to disguise himself, but also the whole culture which was there, the culture of love, of learning, of sharing, a culture really imbued with the deepest needs. And I made a note of your one of your sentences, which I found particularly good. Without love, our life becomes completely empty and lonely. And that is Kali Yuga. And I believe by listening about Krishna and hearing his dealings with his various devotees, including Sandipani Muni, his teacher, by also seeing the love which you put into the presentation of Krishna visiting the saltwater ocean and from there starting his journey to the bottom of the ocean and from there to Yamaloka, where he brought back the son of his teacher, was really heart-touching and heart-opening and in a way almost therapeutic. So I really want to thank you, and yes, I very much also appreciated the little exchange between you and Prashanta, where you were worried that it might be getting late, and Prashanta said, "We don't call it like this here." Meaning, when we enter a different realm of for which Vrindavan stands, where Krishna is put in the center, then where is there anything else to do when Krishna is so clearly in the center? There is nothing more important, nothing more time pressing, and our schedules might well go out of the window because we have arrived in the most essential business of life, to put Krishna in the center. So I really want to thank you, and I made a note, the Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education will get an urgent request for your new book. What was it called? The Veil Begins to Part, the overviews of chapter of Canto 5 and chapter 6.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I already planned on sending it to you urgently.
Yeah.
No. Oh. And also because of association with very special devotees, even a hard-hearted person like myself, but no hearted person, with some very special devotees, becomes softer.
Thank you, but if it doesn't come urgently, I will get my machine into working, and there will be 50 devotees knocking at the room of Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education, because they will try to get to. Good. No, thank you very much. It was such a wonderful.
Thank you for your encouraging words.
This is not encouragement. This is the truth. Thank you all. Thank you very much. And all of us, all of you participants in the Zoom conference. Thank you for being there on this retreat. I really can see that an atmosphere builds up. And please do know, this is very, very important. If in this life we can increase our taste for Krishna, even a little bit, that little bit which we can increase is the value of this life, the best result which we have obtained in this life. So yes, this is very good. And yes, and please keep on saying such sentences when we don't get, when we're getting late. We don't call it like this here. This is very important philosophy, which you have concisely put in one sentence, Prashanta. Good. Hare Krishna.
I'm going to disappear, but I'm listening. I just have a few
things to do. Yes.
To be empty.
Yes, please.
Hare Krishna, but I'm listening as I'm hearing all the time.
As you wish. Hare Krishna. Good. So we will now go into the second part of lessons or life lessons from the Govardhan Leela. We will talk about how Krishna introduced an activity which has become really very, very much liked by all the devotees of the Lord. We will hear how he introduced the first Govardhan Parikrama and what transpired there. And we will enter a little bit into the psychology of Indra and how he reacted, and most probably gain a very important lesson in our own life. So let us start. Please all say with me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satarine. Namaste Girirajaya, Namaste Girirajaya, Shri Govardhana Namine,
Shri Govardhana Namine,
Ashesha Klesha Nashaya,
Ashesha Klesha Nashaya,
Paramananda Daine,
Paramananda Daine.
There's a great blessing about what we are doing during the Govardhan retreat, a great blessing which we also hope to receive while listening to the Govardhan Katha. It comes from the Garuda Purana. Giriraja vibhutam cha yashnoti narottama sagachet dharma paramang golokam yogi durlabham. Yogi durlabham means something which is very difficult even for the yogis to attain. That becomes very easy by just listening about Giriraj. This is the verse. One who hears about the glories and the opulences of Govardhan goes to Goloka, a blessing which even the greatest yogis cannot attain. In our culture, we have, it's Western culture, I want to say, in the Western culture, we have not much experience about hearing and getting tremendous benefit from it. Maybe in a therapeutic context, there's something that the therapeut will say something to the patient that will shift his perspective and allows him to see new angles of vision and then solve his dilemma a little bit. But even when the patient leaves the therapeutic session, he will still have to deal with his karma. And the karma will return after feeling a little bit lighter and more relieved. Only after a long time it may be abating. But in hearing about Krishna, it is said that the hearing acts like a match which is put into a grass heap. The hearing, in other words, even if it is a little and it arrives at the ear, will be putting fire on our heap of karma, which is there, and it will devour it eventually. So we here in the Gaurabhavan, at the site of our lake, certainly can experience this. We have stopped all other activities. Everyone takes part in this hearing, and they say, "Whew, this is opening a perspective to the only one reality that there is, the reality which exists outside of our mind, which is the spiritual reality, to which we don't have so much access when we are entangled in our multitude of busy thoughts." So yes, hearing as a sadhana, as a spiritual practice to attain the sat, a very high goal. The syllable, now the word sadhana has the root word sat, which means attaining a high goal. That hearing to attain a high spiritual goal is our purpose here. After the huge, enormous form of Krishna, who was sitting on the sacred mountain, after this form had disappeared, almost like the flame of a fire which disappears, the Brijbasis took a rest, took a big feast. Somehow Giriraj had eaten everything, but he had also returned everything to his devotees. And then they took a rest. The first one up after this colossal rest, because they had really eaten, this was so much excitement which had happened. Well, there Krishna had shown that he took on a huge form on the mountain, and that was identical with him. After all this excitement, they had to take a long rest, and when they came up from the rest, Nanda Maharaj was already up, and he said, "The time has come. Time has come. Let us start the circumambulation of Giriraj." Now, to circumambulate someone is a sign of the deepest respect. I have seen during Vedic marriages, the wife will respect her husband by going around him. I think she only does this one time in the life. I hope the respect continues. I don't know, but the circumambulation. Or when we are worshipping the sacred Tulsi plant, we go around on Parikram. To circumambulate clockwise is a sign of a great respect. And Nanda Maharaj called his people to do this. Krishna had instructed him earlier. This is part of worshipping Giriraj. But first, the right order in which these big assembly of Brajvasis were walking had to be established. So the white cows were all taken and put in front of the procession, and they started to walk. Then came the other cows, the multicolored cows, the red cows, and all kinds of cows, lion-headed cows we hear. Then the brahmanas came, and they had a very serious business. They chanted Vedic hymns, and then the community leaders and their wives came. Then came the assistants of the community leaders, then the young gopis, then the maid servants, then the artisans. There were various artisans. Maybe you know, in the court of Nanda Maharaj, there are people who know to take sticks and you know, on top of the sticks are dishes, fragile dishes, and they know how to juggle them and to give good entertainment in the evening. There are people who can jump over high sticks and everything they know for good humor. And they came and performed their skills. And then after them, let me see, I've written it down, all other skillful people, crafts people came. And then, this is amazing, and this shows us the amazing atmosphere in Vrindavan. All the forest animals came. Deer were walking there. Hares were hopping there. Of course, the monkeys were there doing their various antics, but circumambulating. And various birds who were flying above the procession, shouting in their bird language, the great joy of going on Govardhan Parikrama. Then the cowherd boys came, and they all whirled their sticks. And afterwards, a group of talented musicians playing various instruments and veenas. Then came the honey voiced singers, honey voiced. They had madhukantas, honey voice. And afterwards, behind them, rows of dancing girls who were dancing. It was a joyous procession, and the women sang in their voices Krishna's pastimes. This is a community without envy, a community where Krishna and his worship is in the center. Once, when I stayed for a month in the old temple of Suryakund, I was a witness to this community without envy. Every evening, the Brajvasis came in procession. They came into the temple. Not all of them fitted there because it was smaller than now. And they would sing Krishna's pastimes, and the ladies would cover their heads with the zaris and dance in a very, very nice way. And in this way, also, I was witness to the village entertainment where Krishna is there in the center. When the brahmanas chanted, it is described, it was extremely, you know, formal Vedic hymns. But when the ladies sang, the simple Brajvasis ladies, it was, I'm looking for the quote, it was very, very nice and gives us a little entry into the art of singing for Krishna. The people of Mathura used to think about the people of Vrindavan with great respect. And when there was the wrestling match going on, the people said, "The ladies of Vraj are the most fortunate of women, because with their minds fully attached to Krishna and their throats always choked up with tears, they constantly sing about him." And then it's described that they were singing always while milking the cows, while winnowing grain, churning butter, gathering cow dung for fuel, when they were riding on their swings at the end of the day, they were singing about Krishna. When they were taking care of their crying baby, they said, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. That is particularly the mantra they like to sing. The name of Govinda, of Madhava, Govinda, of Damodar. And by their exalted Krishna consciousness, they automatically acquired all desirable things. My dear devotees, my dear skeptics as well, my dear not yet convinced listeners, if you can put Krishna into the center of your life by thinking of him and by also singing about him and his glories, life which would have gone this way will go this way. Life which would go into, you know, arranging and thinking and worrying, will this work out, and oh no, all this negativity is always increasing around me as Kali Yuga progresses, that's this way. Life will change its course. It will go into an increasing amount of happiness, feeling a divine reciprocation of love. Oh, Krishna cares for me, even for me. You will see this. So while milking the cows and doing other chores, such as swinging or sprinkling the water on the ground, the Braja gopis would sing about Krishna's name, his form and qualities, and they would have visions of him. And in this way, by having Krishna in the center and feeling not left out by Krishna, but feeling that Krishna would be there in their life, yeah, they tasted the sweetness of Krishna, or consciousness. I think here's a lesson for us to take. While you do your other things, continue to sing about Krishna. Continue to think of him and meditate about Krishna. And I will guide you into a very simple meditational exercise just a little later, where this will be possible for us to do. I just need to put the clock here that I'm not losing the time. So, yes, so this was all going on while there was the Govardhan Parikrama, singing about the Lord and so on. What were Krishna and Balaram doing? How would they walk? I think we all know Govardhan Parikrama, and we do know that, yeah, after the 23rd kilometer, where we feel we have just gone through our life because so many things are revealed to you on Govardhan Parikrama. After the 23rd kilometer, you might look down at your feet and they have changed. They are now full of blisters. What was Krishna Balaram doing? Well, they were swaggering with a gait of young elephants. I do not know if all of you are sufficiently educated in the English language. I had to look it up. Swaggering means to walk with exuberance, to walk with pride. That's how Krishna and Balaram were going. Their young friends were swarming around them like bumblebees, and they would joke. And remember what the friends were doing? They took their sticks and had different whirling games. You know, I tried secretly to whirl a stick around, but I was destroying the room in which I was. It is quite difficult to keep it in a controlled way. So there was Lord Krishna. He looked like, with his dhoti, like yellow lightning. Here we see our Gopal Raj like this. He had ornaments. He carried a rope around his shoulder. It was a rope for tying the cows. And he also, with great laughter and joy, twirled his effulgent stick into the air. He said to Balaram, "Dauji, see how I'm twirling and throwing my stick." And he just made it a point to throw it very high. There was two reasons, a joyfulness in the company of his cowherd boys, but he was thinking of one devotee who was really trying to see him, but because of being situated in the back of the procession or a little bit behind, this devotee didn't see Krishna. It was Srimati Radharani. Radha had covered her face with a veil so that no one would see that she would only glance at Krishna. She had only eyes for Krishna. She was surrounded by her elders. However, by seeing the whirling effulgent stick of Krishna, which he threw in the air, Radha knew, here is my beloved. And that feeling gave her great transcendental bliss. Now on the way, and I think this is also something very, very important for us to learn, on the way, Nanda Maharaj stopped frequently to give charity to the brahmanas and the beggars. And when Krishna saw this, he became so pleased that he would offer his dear father a sidelong glance. This sidelong glance of Lord Krishna is really the blessing which a devotee wishes to have in his life. And I will return a little later to it, but I just want to only speak about the quality of Krishna's sidelong glance. You know, once when Lord Krishna was just very small, Nanda Maharaj had to go to Mathura to give his taxes to the government of Kamsa. And he thought to himself, usually I do not make a difference between a friend and an enemy. I have an equal vision. But this boy, my own boy, has totally changed that. I have become absolutely attracted to my little boy, although he does not yet speak. Krishna was just recently born, no? I'm looking repeatedly on his face, and all my agitation in life goes away. But before Nanda left for Mathura, he looked one more time at the face of his child. He had taken Krishna on his lap. Krishna was there with his father, just very, very happily. And he experienced so much bliss by holding Krishna on his lap. Then he kissed Krishna on his forehead, like that, and his cheeks. And he embraced his body, but he could not feel this is enough. He just delayed his departure to Mathura. And the nurse who saw this, who was also there, said, "Oh, dark child, sweet dark child, your father cannot go and see the king unless you give him your permission." And at that time, Krishna, with his most astonishing childlike nature, smiled at Nanda Maharaj. And this smile sustained Nanda Maharaj. He remembered it again and again. And he was so much in love with Krishna all the time that he struggled to keep his love secret before his other cowherd men. It was just so overwhelming. So in English we say so overboarding his love, that he had this, and he talked joyfully, but inside he overthought of the smile of Krishna, and he looked like a great accomplished yogi who was meditating about the Brahman and seeing the Brahman. You see, Vrinda Devi in the back, she is surrounded by this huge halo that dispels all the darkness. That happens when you think of Krishna and Krishna's smile in your life. I very much appreciated so many things which Bhuvijan Prabhu explained to us, but he said, he talked about the ultimate psychotherapy. he said when someone who comes to him, he said, "Please for a moment stop and just think that Krishna loves you. How do you feel?" My dear devotees, let us stop for a moment and think that Krishna smiles at us. Let us close our eyes for a moment. Think of the smile of Krishna. His lips are parting, and there are his white teeth, like jasmine flowers. And he smiles happily on us. In his smile is a lot of love. It's a wonderful meditation, and I'm just now finishing a book on meditation, inner stillness, and one is called The Divine Smile. It is a outreach book, and I'm covering the language a little bit, but it is very, very, very good. This is what the Brajvasis felt all the time, Krishna's love for them, and which evoke loving responses. Krishna did not forget any one of the Brajvasis. It is said about Srimati Radharani that her compassion was so all-encompassing that once she saw a calf who had eaten, and while the calf was eating, a very sharp straw had pierced the mouth a little. So she saw this, and overwhelmed with deep compassion, she took that calf and took the straw out and then smeared from both directions kumaric there. Kumaric? Yes, it's called kumaric. That yellow powder which is disinfecting wounds and helps also that they close very quickly. So, yes, that is there for the divine couple. They smile, and in the smile there's love, and it is coming to even the least of their devotees. Once two devotees came together and said, one devotee said, "Why do you love Krishna?" "Oh, why I love Krishna? Well, that is very simple. I love Krishna because his mind is so expansive. I love Krishna because he does not take even the most serious offense done towards him. He doesn't take that personally. However, if Krishna sees even the tiniest effort to please him, he makes it as big as an ocean. Even if there's an offense as big as an ocean, he makes it like a drop, insignificant, and that even evaporates. And if there's a little insignificant little seva in Krishna's mind, he expands it into the size of an ocean. That's why I like Krishna so much, and I serve Krishna." Oh, yes. So this is the Braj atmosphere. There were other festivities, but because Krishna was in the center, everyone was just so blissful. Jiva Goswami says something about bliss. Even though the soul is very tiny in size, no, the soul is very small. What is the size? 1/10,000 part of the tip of the hair. So even though the size of the soul is tiny, atomic, the soul can enjoy immeasurable happiness when you are in Krishna consciousness. There are no limits as long as you keep Krishna in the center. You might have to put the ego a little out of the center. Then this way all the Brajavasis drowned in happiness. They all did kirtan during the whole parikrama, and it became like dancing through the forests of Braj. Eventually they returned, and when they returned they watched a dancing event. Then they happily went to take rest, and they were dreaming of Krishna, and their very first parikrama, which was led by the two brothers, Krishna and Balaram. This is a nice meditation when we go on Govardhan Parikrama, that in front of you there are Krishna and Balaram. So you walk searching for them. And behind you is Giriraj listening to your prayers and so on. That's a very nice meditation to do from Shastra. It is like this. Now, this is the Vrindavan atmosphere. But for Indra, this didn't sit well. It is described in Gopal Champu that the joyous glorification and the sounds in which the voices of the cows and birds mingled was so joyous, but it gave Indra such a terrible headache. He went to, I think it was mentioned yesterday, I do not remember very clearly, he went to the two doctors who can cure anything. They can give you a new body, the Ashwini Kumars. And he said, I have such a headache from hearing this kirtan where they glorify a mountain and a little boy. It gives me such a headache. And the Ashwini Kumars looked at him and they could see the reason was envy. Envy on Krishna. A malicious envy which came about by not being in the center any longer and seeing that Krishna was put in the center. And they shook their head and said, we have no medicine against this. It cannot be cured. You have to suffer your headache, Indra. There's not much medicine which the Ashwini Kumars have, but there is one medicine to hear about Krishna, and that can cure this terrible envy. Let us go back for a moment about this idea of putting Krishna into the center. We heard one way is to sing the whole day while you do your other work. I know when you're in an important telephone conversation, you have to make that important telephone conversation. Yes, and it may be that, well, nowadays is lockdown. I don't know how it's, at least in Germany, no one can do public things. Although there are some who do. A little bit, yes, there may be some activities which you cannot do while you cannot sing. That, but then you can think of Krishna. Somehow, if you put Krishna consistently in the center of your life, one day you will wake up seeing Krishna in the spiritual world. That sadhana has to be somehow learned. So in Vrindavan, this is there. And in one of Prabhupada's last purports, he spoke about it so beautifully that I desire to read this quotation to you, because no one could, I wouldn't be able to put it so nice. In Vrindavan, everyone is happy pleasing Krishna. The Goswami is happy pleasing Krishna. The tiger or other ferocious animals. Everyone's business is the same, to please Krishna. And in Vrindavan, everyone is happy. The calf is happy. The cat is happy. The dog is happy. The man is happy. Everyone. Everyone wants to serve Krishna in a different capacity. And thus, there is no envy. Envy, that bad feeling which makes our heart feel restless and dissatisfied. Oh, he has more likes on Instagram than me. Oh, that comes from a desire of sense gratification, where you put your own personality in the center. But when you put Krishna and his pleasure in the center, envy goes. And that was difficult for Indra to do. Eventually, he was also cured, but that's for later. Thus, because everyone wants to serve Krishna in a different capacity, there was no envy. One may sometimes think that the monkeys in Vrindavan are envious because they cause mischief and steal food. One may think, these monkeys are... But in Vrindavan, we find that the monkeys are allowed to take butter with Krishna himself distributes. Krishna personally demonstrates that everyone has the right to live. This is Vrindavan life. Everyone, no judgment. I once saw this, you know, I must admit I become a little bit worried because the monkeys who eat everything, who break everything, they extend their rule in Vrindavan. They become more and more and they multiply like anything. And they are now a Govardhan. There used to be no monkeys in Govardhan. Radhakund, you can see them, and they really, like an atomic explosion, they have their procreation act, you know. It's really exploding. So I asked my taxi driver, a Brijbasi, what do you think about these monkeys? I mean, don't we have to do something, like put them into cars and drive them somewhere else? Or you know, it's becoming so much. So we were just passing a banana, banana stall, and the monkeys were just plundering the banana stall. So look at this. Don't we have to do something? They are too much. And he said, no, they're living with us. We have to learn to live with them properly. He should have given them a few bananas, you know, then no problem. We have to learn to live with everyone. This is Vrindavan life, no envy. But Indra, oh, he attacked the very root of Vrindavan life, Krishna and his Brijbasis. Narada Muni had informed him, I will go a little bit into the fast here. He was at that time with his beautiful apsaras, and when he heard about everything that transpired, about his how everything had been given to Giriraj, he came into a rage, uncontrollable rage, and called for the Samvataka clouds and addressed them. O faithful servants, O powerful clouds, O rulers of the 14 planetary systems, if you are truly loyal and faithful to me, then hear what I have to say to you now and act immediately. These coward men, headed by Nanda, on the instigation of a foolish little boy who has bewildered all of them, called Krishna, he has offended me. I am constantly praised by Saraswati, the goddess of learning, but they have stopped to worship me, and instead they worship a mountain. This is too much. Fly to Braj. Destroy all the cows, which are the sole means of livelihood for Nanda and his people. And then destroy Braj in such a way that no one will ever know that there was such a place as Vrindavan. You can see how Indra was totally bewildered. I don't want to say it. I mean, we need Indra, but my grandfather once told me about Adolf Hitler. I do not know if you, everyone has, but if you say it like this, in German you say Adolf Hitler, in English maybe you say Hitler or something, I do not know. So when he heard that his orders were not followed, he jumped from his seat. He went to the carpet, he took the carpet, and he bit into the carpet because he was full of rage and anger, and it had to go to the carpet, you know, to somewhere. So it's a little bit like, I hope I don't go too far in my analogies, but this Indra was, he opposed against the prince about giving, surrendering to Krishna. And he sent all this trouble to the Brijvasis. It started to rain. First the clouds came to Braj and they grew and grew. Then it rained like pillars. The lakes started to overflow, then the rivers, then the winds came and tore the mountains apart, not Giriraj. The trees were uprooted and scattered, and the 12 directions were scattered. You couldn't find any orientation. The people walked, it was dark, they couldn't find anything. At all, no directions, the houses, the roofs were torn apart, trees broke, and Indra vented his rage. All of a sudden, as everyone was panicking, a very strong voice was heard above the apocalyptic noise. It was the voice of Krishna, whose voice somehow penetrated. I want to find this for you. He called, "O Mother, do not delay now. O Father, do not delay. Please come. O elders, bring everyone. Come, I'm at Giriraj's feet." Krishna was there with his cowherd boyfriends, and he said, "I'm going to lift now Giriraj." And they said, "Don't do this. The mountain will fall and squash you. Your muscular power is not strong enough." Krishna said, "Can I give you a proof?" He didn't want to act against the will of his friends. And they said, "Yeah, well, no one can lift a mountain." But then Krishna went to a huge tree. And I have seen the tree. And he took the branch, it was a branch like this, and he just twisted it without breaking. It's still twisted. And he did it effortlessly. So he said, "What do you say now?" "Okay, go and lift Giriraj." So he went to the southern end of Giriraj, that's where Puchery is. There was a tunnel, and he went through the tunnel underneath Giriraj, and then this was the right hand, with the pinky of his left hand, he raised Giriraj, and he called all his devotees under the mountain, who now had a second festival. The first was the Giriraj festival, But the second festival was looking at Krishna. My dear devotees, I have the feeling I'm going here over time. So I want to draw to the end. I have so much more nectar here. Let me first bring you again back to the glance of Krishna. Prabhupada used to say, don't try to see Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna sees you. Act in service in such a way that Krishna will see you. And at another time he said, when a devotee with all his heart and soul serves Krishna, dresses him in nice garments and gives him a flower, Krishna smiles. If you can get Krishna to smile upon you just once, one time, your life's goal is fulfilled. I would like to repeat this. When a devotee with all his heart and soul serves Krishna, dresses him in nice garments and gives him a flower, Krishna smiles. If you can get Krishna to smile upon you just once, your life's goal is fulfilled. Just once, then your life's goal is fulfilled. At the end of this little presentation, before I can take any questions, but please don't type the questions in while you meditate. You have to do it after, if you have not yet done it. I would like to make a little Krishna meditation about the smile of Lord Krishna. It is said that those persons who constantly remember Sri Hari, in the way in which this meditation goes, will be devoid of all miseries. Their hearts will be absorbed in thoughts of the Lord, their senses will be conquered, they will be faithful, and they will become maddened by ecstatic love. This is a meditation which I take from this work, Hari Bhakti Kalpa Latika, The Wish-Fulfilling Creeper of Devotional Service to Lord Hari, which was printed by, it's by an anonymous author, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur liked it so much that he kept it in print while he was with us, or while he was there. So, meditating about Lord Krishna, there are many entries in the, what is it called, Prabhupada's books about it, but it is something which our movement only now begins to discover, slowly and slowly and slowly, because naturally we have placed the main emphasis in our sadhana on hearing about Krishna and glorifying Krishna, either speaking about him, that's also a form of kirtan or glorification, or singing about him. You will be most probably accustomed to these two processes, hearing about Krishna and glorifying him. I learned the art of meditation quite early because I have a memory which for many things is like a sifter. I hear something and whoop, it goes out of my mind, especially numbers and other things. for other things it works all right. So, but also when I read philosophy, it sometimes in the beginning it was, now it's all right, but not fully all right, but a little bit more all right. In the beginning, when I was a new bhakta, I would read all this new information. I would think, wow, far out, but what did I read just now? And I made it a point to stop this type of thinking, type of reading. But I read, and then I stopped, and I remembered what I had read. It's a good process to do. I reflected also about what I had read. This is how you enter by just the art of meditation, by just remembering. Smaranam is many times also translated as not meditation, but remembering. This is, you recall something into your mind, which then becomes the main content of your mind. And if it is a spiritual recollection, it will make the mind spiritual. If it is a material recollection, it will always agitate, but it will make the mind vibrate in material ways. So remembering is a good way. It is a nice way. And this is how you learn to meditate. You just learn to remember what you have read and what you have heard, and then you start rewiring your mind and putting some spiritual content in there. So the meditations on Lord Krishna start always in Vrindavan. Those of you who you can also listen to what we will hear, but I will first put you into a little peaceful state. I request you to sit down. Yes, thank you. Oh, I see, I can understand. Some of you are excited. What will come now? Something wonderful. So find just a little. It should be comfortable but straight, no? Sit straight. You might like to just. Oh, some of you are so stiff. Roll your shoulders a little bit. Open your chest. Here's something. Breathe in. Yes, and out. I'm serious. Do it. It's good. It's authorized yoga. You need a little bit more energy, my dear people. And a little bit with traction. Yes, with some sound. You might smile also. It's not forbidden to smile. It's not so serious. Thank you. Bas. And now just lengthen your breath. In and out. Oh, some of you do not breathe any longer. Let me help you. When you breathe out, just extend your exhale. That will take care that you can breathe in better. When you're ready, close your eyes and continue to breathe. In and out. Appreciate your breath. Pranosmi Krishna is that prana inside the breath, that life energy or life force. Those of you who would love to go to Giriraj Govardhan in their memory may do so. I will read you now a few texts on Krishna meditation. Just let the texts enter your ear and let them soak you a little. First, meditate on Vrindavan, which is filled with intoxicated dancing peacocks. There are flowers surrounded by bees. Attractive fruits, and there are various enchanting trees with newly grown buds on them. And there is Krishna. He looks at his flute and then places it into his mouth and starts to play. When the oxen and white cows hear the sound of Krishna's flute play, they continue to hold the grass in their mouths and they look at him without blinking their eyes. The cows begin to slowly approach Krishna, and while they walk, the calves continue drinking milk from their udders as they go along and surround Krishna from the four directions. O friends, please meditate on the cowherd boy Shri Krishna, who's wearing a garland of forest flowers, whose form is blackish like a new cloud, who's eager to hear the sound of his own flute, and who is surrounded by calves who have traces of milk around their mouths. See Krishna in your mind's eye. He's smiling. His bodily color is like a fully blossomed blue lotus. His eyes are reddish, like lotus flowers, and his hair is decorated with a peacock feather. Look at Krishna in your mind's eye. He has butter in his hands. and he is surrounded by his cowherd friends. Suddenly these cowherd boys begin to dance. And Krishna joins them and dances while his ankle bells are making a very sweet sound. Krishna dances and he smiles. You may take now a few deep breaths. And slowly return to computer awareness. It means looking at your computer. I thank you very, very much. We have to deal tomorrow a little bit more with envy to drive it completely out of the heart. We will talk about the two centers of dynamic interest in our psychology, but only 2 minutes, and then we will fly to Braj free from any obstacles. And this is the land of love which we look for vainly, without success, in the material world where only a reflection exists for a short time there and then gone. So yes, thank you very, very much. I'm now ready to, there's this problem with my wristwatch. Prashanta, can you please give me an orientation? I think I'm for question and answers is no time now. Is it correct? Let us see if Prashanta is there or if she has meditated and is now in Samadhi. Maybe some of the crew can find...
And you can take questions.
Good, 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 good. Just very briefly, and I don't want to keep you too long. Let us, there is a question here. I will just do one for the exchange. There are many questions always. But from Hari Syam, I saw you first, but then the question disappeared. Now here it is. I felt assured, Hari Syam, Hari Bol first of all. I felt assured to hear our life's goal can be to increase our taste for Krishna. Going back to Godhead seems too lofty for where I am at, but increasing my taste gives me hope and encouragement. How could this be a sign of laziness on my part to not aspire for the highest aspiration? There is a secret. Thank you. So that this highest aspiration becomes something that really lives in you, it can't be too high. Because if it is too high, you will always shift it somewhere else. Later, later, when I'm old, later, when I'm more advanced, later, when my situation is really set up and my preaching center is really operating so that I can delegate. If you have such a high aspiration, you will always talk like this and think like this. So it must be small, doable steps. You know what I did in order to appreciate Vrindavan more? I read in Vrindavan Mahamrita that one should offer his obeisances in the direction of Vrindavan. So up to this day, whenever I get up, I first bang, go on the ground wherever I am. I think Vrindavan is there, then I do the pranam mantras to Srila Prabhupada, and then I offer my obeisances to Vrindavan. Small thing, 30 seconds. But by doing it regularly, I have become more mindful of Vrindavan and what Vrindavan stands for. There are other small things which you can do, which are not out of your reach. And you have to put these things into your life and make them regular observances. And then, as you do this, maybe you want to read about Vrindavan. Maybe you want to share with Vrindavan. Maybe in order to prop you up, you make a seminar which you present in the universities in Chicago, magic places, you know. I'm just saying something out of my mind. Maybe this is not an intelligent title. And then you are forced to study a little bit about sacred places and how they affect our lives. And then you talk in a relevant way to this audience. Somehow or other, do this to increase the circumstances. This is the most important advice I can give about breaking old habits and installing new habits. Don't just dwell on the habits or on the activities you want to do. Create also the favorable circumstances that enable you to do them. Most of our high aspirations have stranded, have been like boats who come back to the shore and never crossed the ocean. Most of our habits have been stranded, or our desire to improve our life have been stranded because we have not been able to create the circumstances which first of all enable these habits to grow, and circumstances also which sustain them. If you want to chant better rounds, don't just leave it by this. I want to chant better rounds. That will never work. That will never ever work. Forget it. You will not chant better rounds for a long time. Make some practical steps. Like for instance in the morning. Make some undisturbed time in the morning. Put your little distraction monster called your newest Samsung mobile telephone in another room, you know, and chant without telephone, without interruption. And then you can tell yourself, okay, I have stopped talking to the world now, I better start talking to Krishna and addressing Krishna through the mantra. Small things that create circumstances in which you can prosper. Hari Bol. My dear devotees, I know I'm over time and I feel the pinches of guilt. But there, what to do? There are all these questions. Dear Maharaj, this is last question. If I remember correctly, you have performed a full Dandavat Parikrama around Sri Govardhan. If you so desire, can you please share any kind of nectarian realization experiences? What treasures have you gained? There is something you need to know about vratas, that is vows which you do. Any vows. The moment you talk about them in public, they will go. They will disappear. And there is a reason. In the Bhaktivratas, we try to do something exclusively for Krishna. It's in a private space between the Bhakta and Krishna. Great acharyas have sometimes shared about their vows. Great acharyas have written about it to benefit us. But a small person like me has not spoken about it. It's traditionally not done, and Krishna consciousness is also never a spectator sport. That is, we enjoy what others do, and the experience that they have. It is something you need to do yourself. Because it's a question, and I don't want to. I'm already so rude by my nature. Little rude, or sometimes rude. One thing I want to say to you, and it comes from the depths of my heart. These words are not false. These words have nothing to do with exaggeration, nor all these other things which we human beings like to do. By approaching Giriraj in whatever way you wish to do, he answers. There is a book out now. It is done by a good friend of ours, David Haberman, a scholar. Loving Stones. And there he has a chapter where he has researched about the innumerable responses which people have given to the question, what have you experienced in Krishna's, while worshipping Giriraj? What have you experienced by going around? And it's amazing when you read these cases, how people have been cured, how people who were on trial for murder had been excused and forgiven, and by doing Govardhan Parikrama, how Giriraj has solved the most difficult life situations. So my suggestion for you is try to make a relationship to Giriraj in whatever way it is possible for you, and obtain the benefits of Krishna consciousness. I would love to go to the other questions. It's this time not possible. I have to do something about my timing here. Next time it will be much better, but Jagatarini's class is coming, and I don't want to. Already we are late, and I can see devotees cannot keep such, they have other things to do. And therefore, it would be really bad if I would now even go more over time. It is totally unacceptable behavior. I thank you very much, and Hare Krishna.